Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It is easy to leave a burning building when it is on fire. But what if that building contains the very thing that gives you life, excitement, peace, joy, courage, and wonder? Will you be an agent of change, or do nothing and eventually leave? If you work in Catholic ministry, business, or education, and need quality content on your website or social media pages, contact The Simple Catholic for copywriting services at thesimplecatholic.blog and click on the writing services page for more information. The Church Militant needs soldiers against the enemy. Enlist The Simple Catholic in this fight for the truth. Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
Hello, welcome to Know the Faith, Defend the Faith. My name is William Hemsworth, and this is brought to you by the Tucson Institute of Catholic Apologetics. Very fortunate to have a very special guest on the program today, popular blogger of Coffee and Crucifix, Renee Albert. How are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Hey, doing well. I know we're talking off air. I'm in Tucson, Arizona. You're in Edmonton, Canada. Technology's awesome. But, September 10th, you published an article about the prosperity gospel.
Yeah.
And of course, that's our topic today. But first and foremost, I understand that you're a revert to the Catholic Church. Can you tell us what that process was like?
It was a very slow process and a very unexpected one too. I was raised Catholic, and I went to an evangelical Bible camp when I was 15 years old, right before high school, and that was basically where I had a bit of a conversion experience, because I was, even though I went to Mass just about every weekend, I wasn't really that knowledgeable about the Catholic faith. And to be honest, I didn't really know why Jesus died for our sins, even to begin with, too. But at this Bible camp, in the summer before grade 12, there was a guest speaker that spoke there about the nature of God's forgiveness, and also the importance of being able to forgive those who offend us, because how do we expect God to forgive us if we can't forgive the ones who, you know, have done wrong to us? And for me, that really hit home, because in junior high, I was picked on and bullied quite a bit, and I had a hard time with feeling resentful towards the guys that kind of made my life a little bit hard back then. So he spoke at camp. The speaker spoke at camp that one time and talked about this importance of God's forgiveness and why Jesus died on the cross for us. And at that moment, I approached the guy after chapel was done, and that basically led to my conversion to what I would call mere Christianity, or just bare bones Christianity, but largely in an evangelical sense. So from that point, and after high school, I started to go to church at my friend's evangelical congregation. And for about 12 years, I've spent that time in their church denomination, and over time I started to do a little bit of church hopping here and there too, and there were just some things that I guess I kind of carried with me from my Catholic upbringing going into the evangelical church, and just some things that just didn't seem to mesh very well, I found, or some things that just didn't make sense. One of the things being, sola scriptura and Sola Fide, and that eventually led me to start considering Catholicism once again. Long story short, of course.
Okay. Right.
But that was kind of the process that led me to consider going back to the church. And I think I have to really credit a bunch of Catholic friends that I had made actually while I was in Bible school at the time. And I eventually got back in touch with them about 7 years after I met them, and they hosted a weekly rosary group. So at a time when I was starting to consider, you know, well, what the heck am I doing? You know, and I was looking for another church to sort of call home. And then I'm thinking, well, maybe I should at least give the rosary another chance. And then from that point on, it just kind of snowballed. And as I was talking to my Catholic friends, I felt like I was starting to get some closure to the questions that I carried with me for all those years. And well, here I am now.
All right. Well, amen. And you're doing great work with your writing and everything, and great witness of the faith. So thank you for what you're doing.
Well, thank you.
Now, on September 10th, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, you published an article titled "The Problem with the Prosperity Gospel." Now, for those who may not be familiar, what is the prosperity gospel?
How I would describe the prosperity gospel, it basically it's almost like people think that's when God blesses us in a certain way, it's almost like we're entitled to a certain inheritance. And a lot of that kind of ties back into the days of Abraham, when God had promised, you know, land for Israel and a lot of this wealth. And I think a lot of it is taken as though it, I would almost put it on par with work salvation, as odd as that sounds, because it's almost like they do it in a way where they still preach truth about Christ's sacrifice, but they add stuff on top of that where it's like, well, if you believe in Christ, you have to do this, or you have to have positive thoughts, or do good works and all that kind of stuff, and God will bless you. And I think there's a little bit of truth to it. However, I don't think that God blesses everyone in the same manner. Like, I think everyone, I think not only that God judges us individually, but I think he blesses us individually as well. And I don't think that monetary blessing is a universal thing. And maybe I'm off base on that. Yeah, you could correct me on that if I'm wrong, but
no, I totally agree. We see that in the lives of the saints as well, who some of them were just flat out broke. Some of them were blessed materially and ended up giving it away. So yeah, I totally agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. Individualized. Yeah. Now, have you noticed any elements maybe possibly leading into Catholics? I know obviously not church teaching, but maybe the way that individual Catholics may act, I guess, if you will.
Well, I do think that in some ways prosperity feel it's largely a Protestant invention, I would say, but I think it does have a way of sneaking its way into Catholicism in maybe the most minor ways. And I do know there are a lot of Catholics who watch Joel Osteen or the other guy, Kenneth Copeland. And I think in a lot of ways, like, they have a lot of really good messages, and they make it in a way that's easy to receive. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're preaching all out lies all the time. Like, I think that there's a lot of truth that they actually preach straight out of the Bible, but it's almost like they add to it just enough to make it seem like there shouldn't be anything wrong with it. And maybe that's one of the reasons why a lot of Catholics that I've come across who have watched Joel Osteen kind of think, well, he's not preaching anything wrong. Like, he actually has a lot of really positive things to say, and it's almost like he's trying. It does seem like he's trying to build everyone up, but from the way I see it, it's almost akin to setting someone up for failure in a lot of ways.
Okay. So I guess that kind of leads into my next, that leads perfectly into the next question. So good segue.
I tend to rabbit trail a little bit, so I apologize.
No need to apologize. So I guess what is, and you've touched on it briefly, what's so dangerous about the prosperity gospel? And I've heard this from people before. Like, what's so dangerous about it? Doesn't God want me to be happy?
Well, I think that kind of, and I hate using the word begs the question, because I think it more leads me to question, well, what does it mean to be happy? What makes the individual happy? And for example, like, what makes me happy? Like, I like heavy metal music and watching movies, and but does that mean God wants me to, you know, listen to it all the time? Not necessarily. And as far as happiness is concerned, I think God has our best interests in mind, and a lot of that has to do with submitting to God's love, being open to his grace, and allowing God to work through us in order to do, you know, good works through faith. And I think a lot of happiness does come from that, but I don't think individual happiness is always rooted in something good, because sometimes, well, you know, take for instance people who pick on and bully kids in school. You know, if a bully, for example, is picking on someone and takes joy out of making that person's life miserable, well, I would say that's not something I would consider something that's a righteous happiness, if that makes any sense at all. Can you repeat the question, actually?
Oh, sure. Well, like I said, in especially in the last couple of years, I've had a lot of people just say, what's wrong with prosperity? Doesn't God want me to be happy? Doesn't he, if I believe in him, wouldn't he bless me and want me to be happy here on this earth?
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that I think about often is, well, I hear the phrase blessing in disguise a lot of the time too. And sometimes when we think of blessings, sometimes the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, wealth, or, you know, good food and good fellowship and everything too. But sometimes blessings come in a way that we don't expect it to. And I think this is where I appreciate the Catholic perspective on suffering, because oftentimes we look at suffering in such a negative light, whereas I think God sometimes allows suffering in our lives so that we can empathize with people who are suffering. And in that sense, like, being able to relate to people who are suffering, I would say there's a lot of joy that comes out of that. And as far as sorry, I'm drawing a blank here.
That's all right. It's all right.
Yeah. So the question was what's so wrong about prosperity theology?
Right. Right.
Okay. Because I think prosperity theology, in a way, gives us a skewed vision of what's the reality of suffering really is. And it renders people who might not be, you know, materially successful or possibly are suffering as people that aren't favored by God. I mean, you take, for example, the in Jerusalem back in the days of the New Testament, you had the lepers that the people pretty much avoided most of the time, and they were actually quarantined into this entire area where, you know, they didn't want them to have anything to do with society, and they were viewed as people who were cursed, people who were dirty, and yet Jesus came and engaged with them, you know. And I guess that's one of the things that I see that's very lacking among Christians who do accept the prosperity gospel, is that they tend to almost think of people who are experiencing hardship as people who may be, for lack of a better word, cursed.
Oh, okay. No, yeah, totally understand. And yeah, now that you put it that way, I definitely, in my interactions with people, definitely see how that could be the case. It's almost like the thought process is like, you know, if I believe in God, I'm one of his children. He's going to bless me. And if you're experiencing something, one, you must not have enough faith, or you must not be, in some circles, part of the elect, if you will.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes total sense. Now, in your article, you describe how the prosperity gospel falls flat. And I know you've touched on it. And forgive me if we're beating a dead horse, but can you describe to the listeners how it falls flat?
Let's see here. I just need to pull up my notes here. I think it falls flat due to the fact that it takes the gospel in a way that, in a lot of ways, it kind of renders the gospel in a way that doesn't reach out to the people who are in most need of God's mercy. It's almost like, I find the prosperity gospel is almost like a thing that people use to benefit themselves for the most part, rather than using it to benefit all of God's kingdom. And I think, sorry, I get a little stage fright sometimes.
No, it's no worries.
Okay. I would almost argue that people who promote the prosperity gospel don't have everyone else's best interest in mind, because you look at a lot of churches that promote it, it almost treats the gospel as a business model as opposed to something that's meant to build up humanity, to direct people into God's kingdom. And like, they don't necessarily manifest themselves as kindness that's rooted out of not expecting something in return. Because, like, when we do good works for people, we don't expect something in return. Whereas with the prosperity gospel, at least I find with those that are promoting it, it's almost like there's something that's to be expected in return. And I'm just, you know, thinking out loud here, but as far as like when people sort of expect blessings, like if they pray, you know, if they say that, well, I'm going to pray to God so much and I'm going to eventually receive some kind of blessing, it's almost like a sense of entitlement in a way, where it's like, well, I'm going to get my inheritance eventually.
Right. Kind of like a business transaction. Like, yeah. I do this, and you're going to do this in return?
Exactly.
Sort of. All right. Well, Renia, thank you very much. Thank you very much for joining me on this week's episode. And like I mentioned at the top of the show, you have a great blog. Where can listeners learn more about your blog, learn more about you?
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear that last part.
That's all right. Where can our listeners learn more about your blog and learn more about you?
Well, I'm actually on patheos.com, and you can find me under the the Catholic columnists under Coffee and Crucifix. And I do have a Facebook page as well under Coffee and Crucifix as well. You can find me on Twitter. I have a Tumblr account, but I rarely use it.
Same.
Yeah, and I also have an Instagram account, but I sometimes post my articles under the link in my profile on Instagram, but I usually share quotes and pictures that might have to do with articles that I'm working on.
Great. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it as well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com. Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.